Please be seated. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit even have more glory? May the peace of our living God be unto you all. Today is Transformation Sunday. It's also Bible Sunday. And our theme for this morning is, Lord, it is good we are here. Lord, it is good we are here. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, we come before you this morning. My Lord and my God, I'm just an instrument in your hand. Lord, anoint my lips and use me to speak your unadulterated word to your people. Prepare every heart, every mind, every soul to be fertile to receive your word, and let it mold and shape our lives. I bring into submission every principality, every power that exalts itself in this place, in Jesus' name. And I ask, O Lord, that your spirit alone be exalted amongst us. Be exalted, O Lord, amongst your people. In Jesus' name we have prayed, amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the Transfiguration of the Lord. People often ask for signs in moments of despair or hopelessness. But I tell you what, there is no greater sign than the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, to strengthen the apostles, Peter, James, and John, gave them a glimpse of what they believe in, and that is his divinity. Peter's response to Jesus was, Lord, it is good we are here. When Peter saw Moses and Elijah appear with our Lord Jesus Christ, and him turning as white as snow, as white as nobody, no launder can get that kind of whiteness, he said, Lord, it is good we are here. He was enjoying the moment. He said, Lord, it is good we are here. What a powerful statement. Hallelujah. It is good we are here, beloved of the Lord, not only in his glory, but at the foot of his cross, in his very presence this morning. For Peter, James, and John, it must have been truly spectacular to be in the presence of the Lord, revealed in all of his divine glory, and with the two greatest prophets in Jewish history, Moses and Elijah. No wonder Peter said, it is good we are here. Peter wanted to build a tent for the three of them because he didn't want to experience the end of what he was enjoying. He was probably saying to himself, Lord, it is easy to believe you when I see you like this. Lord, it is easy to understand all the things you've been telling us when we see you in this kind of moment. That's what you would have said, I believe, because that's what I would have said. Afede mi jidi. Erade man sasa senya mi hui e mane ye me mre se me jiwedi. Amen. It's easy for me to believe you. And then God, the Father, told them exactly what Jesus had asked them days before. Who do men say I am? And who do you say I am? And the Father said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. This morning, the Lord is telling you that Jesus is his Son, that he's pleased in him, and that you must listen to him. Now, all the things that Jesus told them, now they believe. He had also said to them not long ago when they asked him to show them the Father. Jesus said, to have seen me was to have seen the Father. Now they know it is true. I want you to remember a couple of things. Moses was also transfigured, but only his face was transfigured. When he came down from Mount Sinai, Moses came down, the Israelites could not look at him in his face. He came down with a covenant that was written on stone. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. His whole body was transfigured. He came down the mountain with a new covenant, not written on stone, but written on human hearts. Hallelujah. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we expected to show the glory of Christ in our lives. As Christ dwells in us, we must show the glory of Christ in us. As disciples, we need to recognize God's word. We need to internalize God's word. We need to externalize God's word in the way that Jesus Christ is shown to the world. The question is, how do we recognize God's word? Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you look at 7 and 8, it says, now in the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which is being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Many Christians today take the word of God, which is more pleasing to them than the one true God who created us in his image. They create a God who loves them, or us, I should say, and welcomes us no matter what we have done and no matter what we believe into his kingdom. That is a much nicer image of us than a God, to us, than a God who has unconditionally loved us but holds us accountable. The God that we serve loves us unconditionally, but he holds us accountable for our actions and tells us that in order for us to be with him in the paradise that we look forward to, We first have to obey his word and believe in him. See, when we pray, and we pray this morning the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. When we pray, we say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Well, our fathers, or let me say, our Father in heaven holds us to a standard. For those of us that come to Bible studies, we learn that God has a standard. He holds us to that standard and calls us to turn away from our own desires to follow our own will and to obey him instead. Fathers have rules and standards for their children. I know the fathers will agree with me. They have rules. Don't you all have rules and standards for your children? The same as mothers, you will also agree with me. You have standards and rules for your children. When we pray, we do not say, "Our grandfather who art in heaven." Do we say, "Our grandpa who art in heaven"? No, we don't. But you see, our grandpa who art in heaven is the image of God that many Christians and churches have created. See, grandparents, they let their grandchildren get away with everything and anything. Isn't that not true? Every grandparent loves their grandchildren, and they get away with everything. They let them get away with things that they wouldn't let their own children get away with. But that's not how the Bible describes it. The Bible says God will separate good from evil, wheat from chaff, sheep from goats, based on our choice to either love and follow his teachings or our own. The Bible tells us that we are all children of God. That means God has no grandchildren to spoil them. That's good news, isn't it? Hey, Osofo. God is there as if now, okay. God has no grandchildren. We are all first generation offspring from him, and he is our Father, our perfect heavenly Father, not a flawed human father. Today's third scripture reading shows us that Jesus is the way and the only way to the Father and to the Father's glory. The Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." The Father did not say, "This is my Son, one of the chosen. Listen to him if you would like or choose the one of the other ways to me." Is that what the scripture we heard said? Didn't say that. We must also internalize God's word. How do we internalize God's word? That means Christ must dwell in us. Christ must dwell in us. See, when God chose to dwell among the people of Israel in the Old Testament, he instructed them to build intricate and honorably beautiful tabernacle where he would come and visit with his people. God would indicate his presence by cloud by day and pillar of fire by night above the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud of fire moved, the people would pack up their tents and move with it and follow God where he would lead them. So as a way of remembering the time that the Israelites spent wandering in the wilderness, the Israelites celebrated a 9-day-long holiday called Festival of Booths, or Sukkot, in Hebrew. The celebration was instituted during the time of Moses. If you look at Leviticus 23, you will see that. And even today, modern Jews set up makeshift shelters in their yards where they sit with friends. So about 14 centuries after Moses and the Israelites began celebrating God's tabernacle amongst his people, Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the same. So at the end of the celebration, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain. And he was shown in his divine glory during his transfiguration. So when Peter suggests to make three tents, he's not far from it. He's Jew, remember? And that's the tradition. If he has seen such a magnification of God's presence, the best thing by his Jewish culture to say is, Lord, let me build you three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. That's the tradition. He wanted to build tabernacles for them. So Peter's desire was not very strange. Now, look, if you look at it from his perspective as a Jew, he had just seen God's glory revealed in the flesh. So the natural thing for him to think about was to make a temple or altar there, right? And worship right there. What Peter did not realize was that Jesus chose to dwell not in tabernacles, but within us. Hallelujah. That's the good news, that Jesus decided not to dwell in tabernacles, but he decided to dwell in us, not just amongst us. Now, this clear demonstration to Peter, James, and John that Jesus Christ is indeed God means that if we accept Jesus into our hearts, God himself, right? Because Jesus is God, so God himself will dwell within us. Amen. Not some external supernatural force. We will not see that. When God dwells in us, it doesn't necessarily come with some supernatural force where you shake and you fall. But it is a physical and a spiritual part of our very being. When you sleep, he's in you. When you wake up, he's in you. When you're talking to a sister or a brother, he's in you. Hallelujah. In everything you say and do, Jesus is part of you. He is always there with us. Our hands become Jesus' hands to help others. Our eyes become his eyes to see the sorrow in this world and the cry for the people who are hurting. Our feet become Jesus' feet to bring his good news of salvation to those who are thirsty for it. The transfiguration that Peter, James, and John witnessed is available to all of us if we are willing to let Jesus tabernacle within us. It's available to all of us if we are willing to let Jesus tabernacle within us. To be true disciples of Christ, we must let Christ dwell in us. We must let him dwell in our hearts and lead us in everything we do. The third thing I talked about is externalizing God's word. How do we externalize God's word? So it is God's will for each of us to spread his love to everyone around the world. We say February is a month of love. Jesus is love. And Jesus loves. That's a verb, not a noun. It's an action word. Love is not a status. Love endures. Love protects. Love hopes. It rejoices. Love forgives. And all the rest that you can add to it. Because you all have love for one another. If we really love someone, we do things for them out of the goodness of our hearts, just as Jesus did for us by dying on the cross. Let me tell you a story I read. During World War II, a church building in a small border town called Strasbourg, it's a border town between Germany and France, was destroyed. So after the bombing, the members of this particular church went out to see how much damage had been done to their church. And everything in the path was destroyed. But what was left was a statue of Jesus Christ with the hands stretched out. But his hands had been broken off by a falling beam. So a very popular sculptorist decided he would do it for them for free. So the elders or the presbyters of the church met about it to consider the offer. The church leaders decided not to accept the offer. Why? Because the broken hands touched their spirits. It reminded them that Jesus has no hands to minister to the needy or to feed the hungry or to enrich the poor except our own hands. Hallelujah. It's our hands. Our hands are Jesus' hands. Our feet are Jesus' feet. Christ inspires. We perform. Hallelujah. Christ inspires. We perform. If Christ is to minister to the poor, it must be through our hands. If Christ is to take care of the sick, it must be through our hands. If he is to reach out to those that are lonely, it must be through our hands. See, we have grown up with a mentality that we have to give up something during Lent. As Lent is coming, we are thinking about giving up something. Maybe meat, maybe chocolate, maybe food. We have 40 days of fasting coming up during Lent. But Lent is more about drawing closer to Jesus. Lent is much more about getting closer to Jesus. And I'm not sure that giving up chocolate or meat or food for 30 and a half days or so will be able to do that. It's not going to be able to bring you closer to him. So with that in mind, I'd like to challenge you to do something different this Lent. Instead of giving up something, I want you to give something out. Amen. Did you hear me? Give something out instead of giving something up. As a way of externalizing our own transfiguration in Christ, I'd like to ask that you commit to behaving more like Jesus and sacrificing a little bit of yourself for others. Therefore, I want you to go out this Lent period and I want you to create a little moment of joy in somebody's life. Go create a little moment of joy in somebody's life. Pay for somebody's cup of coffee. When you go through the drive-through at McDonald's, buy a double burger. Give it to that lady or gentleman by the roadside with that sign and tell them God loves them. Call the sick. Say something nice to them, something encouraging to them. Call that brother or sister that you have not talked to for a long time because they said or did something that you did not like. This is your opportunity this Lent to show Christ in you. Call them. Send a box of chocolate to that kid at the hospital. Send flowers to that widow and add a note that says, Christ loves you. We can be the hands of Christ for a few minutes each day as we go through this Lent. A simple act of kindness may seem not much to you, but to those that receive it, it can mean the world. Let me tell you another story. A man and his friends were going for a meeting, so they were supposed to fly out. And in a hurry, they bumped into this little girl that had oranges arranged on a table selling. So they pretty much spilled the oranges. So one of them said, the rest of you can take the lead, and knelt down to help the little girl. Unbeknown to him, the girl was blind. So he helped arrange all the oranges on the table, put all the bruised ones aside, and then he quickly realized that the girl was blind. When he had finished arranging the oranges for this young girl, he took his wallet, took out $50 and said, look, take this. I hope we have not caused you too much trouble and we have not messed up your day very badly. And the girl nodded through her tears. And as the man turned around to walk away, the blind girl said, sir. So he turned around and he said, are you Jesus? The man was speechless. He gazed at this young girl in her blind eyes. Nothing to say, he turned around and started walking away. But as he made his way to the meeting, the statement was burning, or the question, so to speak, was burning in his soul. Sir, madam, are you Jesus? Beloved in Christ, as I bring my message to an end, do people mistake you for Jesus? That's really what it is about being a disciple. To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with the world that is blind to his love, his life, and his grace. We may be the only Jesus that some people will ever see in their lives. Our actions may be the only Bible somebody might ever read in their lives. If we are truly externalizing the gospel, people will see God's glory in us every bit as clearly as the disciples saw in Jesus' transfiguration. They will recognize Jesus working through us. If we claim to know him, we should live, walk, and act as Jesus would. Knowing Jesus is more than just quoting scriptures. It's more than coming to church every Sunday. It means we recognize the glory of Christ, that we internalize it by allowing Jesus to dwell within us and to mold us, and that we turn around and externalize it by living a Christ-like life that others may see the glory of Jesus Christ in us. Hallelujah. Soro nefem betrim akko minji naso no be Messi soro nefem betrim akko Inje nasu beti. As we sing this song, I want you to pray. I want you to commit yourself into God's hands and say, God, I want to internalize you. I want to externalize you. Dwell in me. Break me, mold me, that I may serve you, that I may serve mankind. Esrone fombechem, Yesu die ohoda oni yengina so. May he dwell amongst you, not externally, but within each of us. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us. We ask, O Lord, that you help us live our lives in such a way that your glory will be shown in this world. We thank you for calling us your own. We love you, Jesus, and we will obey you. We pray that you will equip us and enable us. In your name we have prayed, amen.